Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the worst Super Bowl party ever.
Now, Dave, be nice.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
Oh, he's just saying that because I'm here.
All right, we've been through fighting urban poverty today. We've been through the Tea Party convention. We've been through being tough on the banks to save the economy. Now we're going to talk about last night's Super Bowl as seen on TV. The voices you just heard were David Letterman, Oprah Winfrey, and Jay Leno from what was one of the weirder Super Bowl spots from last night. Strange as it may have been, however, it did what every Super Bowl spot tries to do, create enough of a buzz to generate water cooler talk the next day. Letterman and Leno together, a mock feud in a commercial with Oprah Winfrey as the grown-up. But the biggest takeaway from last night, besides the impressive Saints victory, congratulations to the entire city of New Orleans and the Houdat Nation, was the strong tone of misogyny from so many of the ads, at least according to the eyes of a few people in the studio right now, including me. Here to run down the good, the bad, and the weirdly sexist from the advertising bowl within the Super Bowl is Mary Elizabeth Williams, a contributor to Salon.com, a culture critic for The Takeaway, as you may know as well. Mary Elizabeth, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, glad to be here. That was a weird show. It was a weird collection of ads last night, and I feel like every year we sort of trot out the old, oh, the ads are so sexist. They're just about hot babes ripping off their shirts. But, you know, I kind of wish that it were just about hot babes ripping off their shirts last night, although there was plenty of that. But this year, you know, some of the ads were just downright angry.
Yeah, like what?
And I just, you know, as I said in Salon Comp today, men, we are sorry. We're so sorry we've taken away civilization from you and you're that mad. Of course, the most egregious, the one that everybody is talking about this morning, is the Dodge Caravan ad, which I believe you may have
We have part of that here, and of course you can't tell everything without seeing it, but I think this 30 seconds of audio gets to some of it. This Dodge spot was simply titled Man's Last Stand.
I will take your call. I will listen to your opinion of my friends. I will listen to your friends' opinions of my friends. I will be civil to your mother. I will put the seat down. I will separate the recycling. I will carry your lip balm. I will watch your vampire TV shows with you. I will take my socks off before getting into bed. I will put my underwear in the basket. And because I do this, I will drive the car I want to drive. Charger, man's last stand.
So this is marriage as total emasculation, except when he's out alone in his car.
Adulthood as total emasculation. And that is the voice of Michael C. Hall, by the way, better known to many of us as Dexter, because if we wanted to drive home the point that nothing is standing between you and homicidal rage except your Dodge Caravan, I think that really did it. It was just the strangest, angriest thing I think I've seen in a long time. How dare society make me have to put down the toilet seat and listen to other people's opinions. It's just so hard. I'm going to have to buy a car. And that was a running theme. You know, you'll hear this in ads again and again. I think one of the weirder ones was the Doritos ad, where a man actually fakes his own death so he can be entombed in a jumbo-sized coffin full of Doritos and a TV set. Has it come to this? Have we actually driven you underground? Pretty bad.
Might be worth it for a food a little better than Doritos, but I don't know.
I want to be holed up with some really good cheese if I'm going at all. That's how it's going to be.
How about this one? Bud Light's take on a book club.
So what's the story?
We were discussing the relationship of two women who were thrust together by war.
Ooh, thrusting. Okay, I'm with you.
A war neither of them understands.
Awesome. Good times. I love book club. I'd like to hear you read some words.
It's the sure sign of a good time. The just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
So then do you like Little Women?
Yeah, I'm not too picky.
All right. So does Madison Avenue have some issues to work through here?
I think because men don't know how to read. It's really sad. They would never get near a book if there weren't the incentive of ladies in Bud Light, right? That's what it's all about. And again and again last night, I mean, there were some standouts. There were some really charming and funny ads. But this theme of just anger, that women dragging you off into – I also want to talk about the Flow TV ads where a man has his spine removed by his girlfriend, and she drags him around to have to shop for underwear and scented candles
during the Super Bowl. So yeah. I thought that was not during only the construction of masculinity there, but the construction of femininity. A woman is somebody who wants to tear you against your will away from watching the Super Bowl to go shopping for linens.
That's exactly what we are going to do, despite the fact that last year one third of the viewers of the Super Bowl were women. That's right. We don't know how to watch sports. We're too busy smelling candles and reading books and making you put the seat down, which is really a full-time job for us. When we're not, ripping off our shirts or taking bubble baths.
They did have the Mark Sanchez spot.
Right. He wants us to take care of ourselves.
Jets quarterback there. I guess it was a public service announcement, right? That was not an advertisement for a sponsor. Warning women that signs of heart attack for them can be different than in men.
I think that was the only ad I was thinking this morning. Was there one ad that actually seemed to be targeted at women that might have actually been there for the ladies? And if there is going to be something for the ladies, it's going to be him. And there were some ads that were kind of gender neutral and just funny and sweet. But so many of them, this theme again, that's just women are just there to kill our buzz, was really just sad because it's not just making fun of women. It's also says something really sad and insulting to men as well.
All right. Men, women. Other, if you were watching the Super Bowl last night, give us a call.
None of the above.
None of the above. Both. We don't want to live in an either-or society. We don't want to live in a both-and society. So both-ands, welcome to call 2. 212-433-WNYC on the ads, on the game, it's okay. On the who, 212-433-WNYC. Roger Daltrey hasn't aged as well as Mick Jagger, would you say?
God bless him. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get up there and do that.
212-433. And the Carrie Underwood national anthem at the beginning. Oh. I thought that was maybe the worst national anthem ever.
At least, if you're counting Roseanne, sure.
I don't remember the Roseanne.
That was
but,
20 years ago.
If she was still on American Idol, Randy would have had to say a little pitchy dog. And I think she actually blew one of the words. I wasn't recording it, so I couldn't go back and see. But at the end, where it, land of the free and the home of the brave, I thought she said lands of the free.
She may have gone off the teleprompter at that point.
A little plural. And I thought, is she also going to do homes of the brave? Is this an interpretation of the song?
Maybe we've acquired some territories.
Paul in Brooklyn wants to disagree with Mary Elizabeth. Hi, Paul. On the Dodge ad, right?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, I think that the Dodge ad is onto something real because I think that it has been overdone by women of emasculating men in our society. Right now in New York City, women make more money than men do. And I don't see any of the emasculation that she was talking about. I think that the ad is right on. It's onto something that is very real, and I'm sure it was done with a lot of research, how men feel about where we are right now.
Paul, thank you. Well, women don't make more money than men. We do know, and we did a segment on it last week, that colleges are becoming 60-40 female.
I wrote a story about that for Salon this morning, about that scary Times piece that some colleges have 45% men. Society
is... It's not some colleges. If I understand the stats, it's four-year colleges in general, 57% female.
We are just
so
undermining
a gender gap here.
The patriarchy at every single term. I hope that most men are not as angry as the guys in that Dodge commercial, because they looked miserable.
But Sylvie in Putnam Valley wants to correct what it was actually an advertisement for. Hi, Sylvie.
Hey there. First off, I am a huge football fan, and I have lots of female friends who are the same. We were tuned in to watch the game, and then we watched the ads. The ads were definitely, they definitely had a sexist slant. But again, me and my posse, we can look at them and laugh and see the humor in. You know, I thought the Dodge ad was hilarious. I did because for all the obvious reasons. It was humor, you know. It was funny, and you never cut funny. But I just have to point out, because it's so important, it wasn't for the Dodge Caravan.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
It was for the Dodge Charger, which is such a guy car. A caravan is a soccer mom car, so you do have to make that distinction, please.
It's not, but it's not what Batman's going to be driving.
Sylvie, thank you for your call. And you know what? We have probably a third of the calls on the board, including... So I'm trying to see if there's at least one other woman who says the same thing. Yes. I'll just let her do it. Danielle in Midtown. Danielle, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that the last two callers kind of said it best. I mean, I consider myself to be a younger feminist and pretty progressive in thought, but I thought that the Dodge campaign was hilarious. It was totally on point. And I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's funny when it's true, you know, and it was definitely touching on something in it. So I think the male caller kind of saw it was actually like hitting a really sensitive point for him.
How about the Flow TV ad, the one that I brought up about, pulling the guy away from the Super Bowl and he doesn't have a spine?
Yeah. I chuckled at that one, too. I mean, I thought the other spots weren't so great, but, and I don't think that one was as powerful as the others, but. I mean, there's something to be said about it. It might not be the most PC thing, but, I mean, I do. I think I have a lot of conversations with other women about how, you know, if we're really honest, sometimes we do kind of push it a little bit on the emasculating part. And if you can't laugh at the fact that, you know, every woman you know is in a book club and, you know, likes for, you know, her boyfriend to, you know, accompany her when she goes out, I mean, it's, you know, it wouldn't be touching such a nerve if there wasn't some truth in it.
Danielle, thank you for your call. By the way, speaking of controversy and Super Bowl ads, I thought that the culture wars kind of failed to deliver last night. Everybody was expecting to be shocked by the Tim Tebow focus on the family anti-abortion spot, and it was a strange one, but relatively innocuous considering all the debate leading in. Let's listen to the audio from that commercial.
I call him my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him. It was so hard. Well, he's all grown up now, and I still worry about his health. You know, with all our family's been through, we have to be tough. Timmy, we're trying to tell our story here.
Sorry about that, Mom. You still worry about me, Mom?
Well, yeah. You're not nearly as tough as I am.
There you go.
Yeah, Elizabeth Williams, your reaction?
Weirdest eHarmony ad I've ever heard. It's just the music, the tone of it. It really seemed like you were being set up for a dating site if you didn't know the dynamic between the two people there. The ad itself, I think we were all kind of steeling ourselves white-knuckledly for something a little more in-your-face and aggressive. And if you went to the Focus on the Family website and saw the full 15-minute version of it last night, as I actually did, it gets a little more aggressive about what's really going on. And a lot of the facts of that story have been disputed. But the ad itself, you know, I don't believe in censorship. I think if you've got the money and you have an ad that meets standards and practices, why not get your message out?
And we have a collection of the spots on our webpage. If you want to go to the links, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for that one and the other ones that we've played. And we also included the Man Crunch pro-gay dating ad that CBS rejected. Did you see it,
Mary Elizabeth? I have seen it. And it's kind of, for those who haven't seen it, you can find it on YouTube and elsewhere. It's basically two gentlemen reaching for the chips, and it gets kind of romantic from there. And CBS said,
would you call it romantic?
It gets into full-on making out.
I think so. I think, you know, as subtle as the, even though I don't want to see censorship by a network against a pro-gay rights message or even a pro-gay message, which was what this was, pro-gay sexuality message, the Focus on the Family ad was subtle.
It was subtle.
And the Man Crunch ad was not at all subtle.
But one thing we have to remember is 2 years ago, the Super Bowl ran a Snickers ad where two men accidentally brushed lips, and it turned into this crazy display of heterosexual masculinity with them ripping out their chest hair. So men touching lips is okay as long as they're straight, and it was completely accidental.
And to be fair, there was nothing unsubtle about some of the heterosexual suggestiveness.
Right. Megan Fox in a bathtub, not really subtle either. So, you know, I would like to believe that that a subtler, more distinguished ad could for a same-sex dating site could make it onto the Super Bowl soon, maybe next year.
Jennifer in Manhattan. Jennifer, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for this conversation. Sure. I'm Jennifer Gabori. I teach gender studies at Hunter College. And I'm really excited for these ads this week to get to show them in my classes, because part of what's happening and that showed up in the callers as well is that these ads are tapping into something important about resentment and anger and targeting women and feminism as a kind of enemy. And really, in some ways, what it's about is a couple things. I mean, one, it's the economy, stupid, and that when the economy collapses, men don't have their role, their provider role, to go to. And so the world, you know, doesn't make sense. These ads show, in some ways, that men don't have a place to challenge the boundaries and burdens of the ways in which they are gendered.
We certainly heard that from the first caller, the male caller, who said this taps into what he feels as a man.
Exactly.
Right, these ads that are saying, wear the pants. It doesn't get much clearer than that.
But the ad that was the most important, I thought, to me then that spoke to that was the Dove ad that said Men Plus Care is the brand of the ad.
Now, I was surprised that ad or that product even exists. It's Dove soap for men.
Skin care for men.
Yeah. And that really what it speaks to in some ways is the antidote to some of the anger that we're talking about. Men need a place to take care of themselves. Mm. And they're angry and chafed when they don't get it.
It's their Dodge Chargers.
Right. And the kicker line of it was, when you're comfortable in your own skin, which is not very original. It wasn't a great ad, but it wasn't a hateful ad. And it said, it's okay. It's okay to be a guy. And you can even use some skincare cream. And it's you're still just as much of a man.
Jennifer, thank you for your call. We're going to run out of time in a minute. You know, what surprised me was that for all the context that there is to New Orleans and the comeback of the city after Katrina, and as invested as the city of New Orleans was, in fact, in this game as a symbol of its recovery, they just did not mention it during the game. The announcers completely dropped that ball, if you don't mind the metaphor, and I thought they could have mentioned it at least, for heaven's sakes, and then used it as a way to promote texting money to the Red Cross for Haiti.
Right.
There was one little mention of it, but just a little bit of push during the Super Bowl with that size audience could have raised so much money. And it was completely disconnected from Katrina or the relationship between Katrina and Haiti.
There was that one other Flow TV ad that Will.i.am put together, the My Generation ad.
That was my favorite.
Right, which was a really, you know, from the people who brought us Jason's had his spine removed. They also did this really kind of lovely little montage of where were you when history happened. And it's the first time I've ever seen SpongeBob and Haitian refugees in the same ad. And it was clever and memorable.
They let the SpongeBob image in anyway. Mary Elizabeth Williams, we'll hear you on The Takeaway.
I hope so.
Thanks to all of you for your calls. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.